You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In a Baptist church in the deep south, the preacher was moving toward the end of his sermon, and with growing crescendo, he said, "This church, like the crippled man, has got to get up and walk." And the congregation responded, "That's right, preacher, let it walk." And he added, "This church, like Elijah on Mount Carmel, has got to run. Let it run, preacher, let it run." So he continued, "This church has got to mount up on eagle's wings and fly. Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." Then he added, "Now, if this church is going to fly, it's going to take money." And it got really quiet until one guy in the back finally broke the silence with, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." Well, today, you guessed it, is Stewardship Sunday. And I honestly don't shy away from this opportunity to talk with you about your financial support of the Advent, because I take seriously the responsibility entrusted to me as a minister of the gospel to help guard the spiritual health of this community. And there isn't a doubt in my mind that financial stewardship is a spiritual issue. The Bible says that the love of money, not just money itself, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And this can actually come as a surprise to many, but Jesus had a lot to say about money. In fact, 1/6 of the gospel narratives and 1/3 of the parables he taught were on the subject of stewardship. So this sermon is about why dealing honestly with this topic of financial stewardship is good for each of us personally, and also why good financial stewardship is so crucial for us collectively as members of this church family. First, for the sake of what is good for each of us personally. Put bluntly, the difficult truth of the matter is that if we aren't careful and intentional, greed can have a power over each and every one of us. Now, we may not like hearing that, but it's just part of the human condition and part of why you and I are in need of redemption and transformation to new life. Biblical commentator Martin Lloyd-Jones tells the story about a direct ancestor of his, an honest, hard-working farmer who came into the family home one day delighted. He'd come in from the barn and said that one of the cows had just given birth to twin calves, not just one calf like he was expecting, but two. He was so excited, and he told his family that because of this added, unexpected blessing, they would raise both calves until they were old enough to sell, and then would give the money made off of one of them to the Lord. The wife said, "That's a wonderful idea, dear. Which one is the Lord's?" He said that apart from color, they were essentially the same. It didn't matter. They would decide later when they sold them which one was the Lord's. But then one day the man came home with a long face. The wife asked what was wrong, and he said, "The Lord's calf has died." She said, "Wait, what do you mean the Lord's calf? You said we weren't going to decide yet which was which." "Oh, no," he replied. "I always knew the white one was the Lord's." You get the point. My previous bishop once told the story about a former parishioner of his who set up an appointment with him to discuss what she called a kind of low-grade depression and emptiness in her life. After hearing her out, Bishop Salmon said, "Here's what I suggest you do. Calculate what you'll have to live on over the next year and give the first 10% of it away. Don't give anything to the church," he said. "Just figure out what's 10% and use that to become a blessing to others." Now, he only told her not to give to the church so that she would know that his motives were pure. I'm just going to tell you that my motives are pure and ask you to please go ahead and give to the church. At any rate, to Bishop Salmon's surprise, the lady actually did what he recommended, and she came back to tell him what a difference it had made. She said that she randomly gave $1,000 to the man who had been cutting her yard for years. One day, she just handed him an envelope with 10 $100 bills and said, "I want you to have this, no strings attached." She said that when he opened it, he cried, and so did she. And she told him of other such instances, all of which had contributed to completely changing her attitude and outlook. And I share those two illustrations with you to simply make the point that first, giving does play an important role in our spiritual health. And two, we need to make it a priority, because if we don't, the Lord's calf will always be the one that dies. We must come to realize that we own nothing, but are rather stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. Because if we don't understand that, we're in a dangerous place spiritually. It's why Jesus had so much to say about money. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. Who has given us every gift we have? Who gives us life itself? We don't own anything. And the minute we think we do, we've taken the place of Almighty God. Now, like any loving parent, God desires for us to have what we need, to be satisfied and joyful, but also, like any loving parent, God doesn't want us to become greedy or spoiled or possessed by our possessions. In fact, God intends for us to become givers. Remember, the Bible says that we are made in God's image. And if we know anything about God, surely we know that God is a giver. He gave and gave and gave all the way to the hardwood of the cross. Put simply, giving back to God and thanksgiving for all that God has given to us reflects spiritual health. And although there are plenty of worthy organizations to give to, we ought to give to the Advent because of the ministries here which bring people within the reach of God's saving embrace. Seriously, so many good things are done through the ministries of this church. Now, God knows, like any church, the Advent isn't perfect, but imperfect as she is, the church is nevertheless God's idea. And when you do right by your church, you're doing right by God. And ultimately, you're doing right by yourself. I mean, can you imagine if all of those who consider this their spiritual home gave as they ought to give to support the ministries of this great church? Can you imagine the impact that we could have? But here, of course, I have to be careful, don't I, about the shoulds and the ought tos, because I really don't have any interest in burdening you with the law and what you should or ought to be doing. I really don't. Because if you were to be guided only by the ought to, then you would most likely end up either self-righteously proud or despairingly depressed. And I sincerely don't want either for you. And yet, the standard, the ought to, remains. We simply can't avoid it. It's just as clear as it can be. The only solution, the key that unlocks the door to appropriate financial stewardship, is when the ought to's and the want to's get woven together in our hearts. From a theological perspective, the Apostle Paul understood this as well as anyone. He came to understand that although religious law gave clear direction with life's essential ought to's, it's only when they are woven into our hearts that the commandments of God are actually kept. Only when the ought to's and the want to's are woven together in our hearts is there really any hope for us to strive toward God's standard, and that includes financial stewardship. David said to the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, God said to Jeremiah, "A new heart I will give to you." It has, in fact, been our ongoing conversation with God since the very beginning. Because in order for us to be doing what we should be doing, we need to first desire doing it. As a wise bishop once said, "What the heart desires, the will chooses, and the mind justifies." Because the truth is that we are driven by the desires of our hearts, and we will ultimately do, if we can, what we want to do. Because where our treasure is, that which we value and desire, there will our hearts and our resources be also. So for the sake of your own spiritual health and for the sake of the good things that God has for us as a community of faith, please prayerfully consider all that the Lord has done for you and for us, and respond with your annual pledge to the Advent for 2024. And remaining seated, please close with me in this prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the good things that you are indeed doing through the ministries of this Cathedral Church of the Advent, and we pray for a faithful and fruitful stewardship campaign this year. Help us to talk honestly with you during these weeks about our finances, that we may avoid and repent of becoming possessed by our possessions, and that we might, in fact, come to see ourselves more and more as stewards of all that you've entrusted to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.